The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Okay, would you like to have tramadol accommodation near where you live? Or is it something that you should think that anybody can live near where you live and it doesn't matter whether they be traveller or anybody else? Is the council that you live in, is it required to provide traveller accommodation and other social housing accommodation irrespective of where you live? Well, this is what we're going to discuss today. And I'm going to start with the issue of, in Dublin, the plans for traveller housing on Mount Anvil Road in Mount Merion in the south side of Dublin. 30 years ago, this site was first selected. It has been the subject of row after row after row. Local politicians getting involved on a regular basis. Indeed, the Minister for Culture, Josepha Madigan, when seeking a seat on the Dunleary-Rathdown County Council in 2014, in her election literature said it would be a dreadful waste of taxpayers' money if the site was used for traveller accommodation. It was recently earmarked for homes for five families, but now it has been removed for consideration in the council's draft traveller accommodation programme for 2019 to 2024. Our first guest, Councillor Hugh Lewis, People Before Profit Councillor. You're chairman or chairperson of the Dunleary-Rathdown County Council Local Traveller Accommodation Consultative Committee. Why was this decision taken?
Well, in my view, this was a political decision. It certainly wasn't about, you know, where the best place to house travellers are within the county. The site has been there for approximately 30 years. And the only real material change over the last 5 or 6 years, certainly since the last traveller accommodation plan, has been the direction of some of the local politicians. So, for example, you mentioned Josepha Madigan. When Josepha Madigan made those comments, she was yet to be a councillor. Josepha Madigan is now Minister for Heritage and Culture. So quite obviously, a decision has been taken by the executive of the council in this instance. But let me get this point across. One of the reasons that's been given is the site is going to be sold. As a councillor, I'm completely against selling any sites that could be developed for either traveller accommodation, social or affordable housing. But even if this site was sold and it was earmarked for traveller accommodation, the onus would be on the private developer to build the accommodation there. In fact, the only new accommodation for travellers was built by a private developer at a location not too far away. So the only rationale from taking the traveller accommodation off this site is purely because they don't want travellers living in this particular area. I would say Fine Gael. I think the influence...
Is it not the local residents that they're reacting to the demands of local residents?
Well, with respect to local residents, all planning permissions are lodged. They're based on the merits, planning or otherwise. They're not based on what ethnicity you want to live beside you. So residents are obviously more than welcome that if plans were prepared for traveller accommodation, they're welcome to submit their plans, submit their views. But if those views are outside of planning regulations, such as discrimination, then they don't actually get to say what ethnicity lives beside them. One thing we need to do right across the board, and the contradiction is Fine Gael have argued this, is that we need mixed tenure communities. We need communities where affluent people live near people that are less affluent and vice versa. Fine Gael will make a very strong argument when it comes to public housing land that should be the case. But in the cases where in more affluent areas, the opposite is true. So the only reason to remove this is because they specifically don't want travellers living on this site. This site will be developed, whether it's publicly or privately, for housing. So the rationale in taking the traveller accommodation off is they just don't want travellers living here.
Councillor Barry Ward of Fine Gael from Dunleary-Rathdown constituency. You're going to be a general election candidate. Is this delivering for the well-heeled voters of Fine Gael?
The first thing to say is Hugh claims this was a political decision. It wasn't. It was made by officials who have no politics. And the reason they made this decision was that last year, and Hugh will be aware of this, there was a wide-ranging assessment of the needs of the travelling community in Dunleary-Rathdown. It's assessed that there are about 50 families in Dunleary-Rathdown who will need to be housed over the next 5 years. And the officials, not the councillors, not Fine Gael, not any political group, decided that the traveller accommodation plan that has been put together and is now in draft form and available for public consultation, by the way, that plan satisfies the needs that are projected over the next 5 years. So we didn't need the Mount Anvil site. That's why it was removed. It was that simple.
How convenient that happened after 30 years of objections and it never got built on.
Yeah, well, it's not convenient. It's a matter of fact. And what I've said to you there, and you will be aware of this, there was an assessment of the needs of the travelling community. They assessed that there's about 50 families who are going to need to be accommodated over the next 5 years. They are provided for within the draft plan that's out for public consultation.
To go where? Where will they go to? Where will they be accommodated?
Well, there are sites all over Dunearrathdown. They're existing, obviously, both halting sites and group housing schemes throughout Dunearrathdown, but the draft plan also
are they near to affluent homes?
Places. Of course they are. I mean, they're across the county. I represent Blackrock. We have a traveller accommodation site in Booterstown. We have another one near Blackrock Village. There's another proposed one within the Blackrock area. So they are throughout the county, and you'll find, in fact, that there's quite a good geographic spread of them throughout the county. And one thing I will say about Dunearrathdown, we have really good traveller accommodation. We don't have problems with it. There's good sanitation provided. It's not perfect. No housing, I suppose, is perfect, but we don't have problems with it.
And but yet this site, always local objections, and nothing ever got done on this particular site.
Well, it's not that nothing ever got done. Nothing had been done by now, and that is true of lots of sites. So, for example, the third site in my area hasn't. We know nothing about what's going to happen there. It's just been earmarked for a particular area. So the draft traveller accommodation plan sets out the plans for accommodating travellers over a five-year period. And what the officials are saying is the draft plan that's been put together without the Mount Anvil site covers the need that's projected for the next 5 years. Why do you need to put in an extra site if you've already accommodated with what's already in the plan?
Back to you, Councillor Hugh Lewis.
Well, this should address that immediately. The need to put in extra sites is because into the future we will need extra sites. Mount Anvil is the only site in the entire county of Dunleary that's proposed to be removed from the traveller accommodation plan.
They've assessed the needs for the next 5 years, and the plan addresses them, doesn't
Indeed.
It?
Indeed. Well, if you look at the last traveller accommodation plan, Mount Anvil was in it to provide five, so was Pottery Road to provide five. The last accommodation plan failed to deliver on 10 units of group housing in the county. Mount Anvil proposes to provide five units of group housing for traveller accommodation. So it's true that there are sites within the traveller accommodation plan that have not proceeded for development and are still at what's called pre-design stage and will probably not move for the next couple of years. The same could be said for this at Mount Anvil.
That's okay. Unrelated.
We have other guests as well, and we will have a representative from the traveller movement with us as well in a little while. But I want to go to Eamon Delaney from the Hibernian Forum, columnist with the Times Ireland edition. Does this have all the appearances, though, that if you can't develop in an affluent area over 30 years, no matter what the officials have decided now, that this may be because they realise politically it's impossible to get traveller accommodation in truly affluent areas developed?
Well, yeah, I'd say it probably is, because why is it important that travellers are accommodated in affluent areas? Is that the point of it? Is it to make sure that
social integration,
people should have the challenges of traveller accommodation? I don't get it. Like, what a waste of debate, really, and airtime that we've just had on this. No disrespect, but is this all about one site?
No, we're talking about generally, we're just using this as a start about an issue which is a national issue, about people not wanting to have travellers living near them, showing what many people would regard as a degree of racism towards travellers.
Yeah, I mean, I know racism. I mean, like, you know, look, this is an issue, Matt. I think I've debated this with you from years ago, and it's only got worse. The gulf in perception between what ordinary people tell me everywhere, rural Ireland, city, and what the media, particularly RTE, but to a lesser extent other media outlets say, and the language they use about discrimination, marginalised minority, racism and that, when in fact what most regular people see is significant challenges in a modern society from a nomadic or semi-nomadic culture which has elements of it which, you know, lead to slash hook fights, bare knuckle fighting, all the rest of it. Of course we know, and Pavi Point will quickly tell us, these are not it's you know, not common to traveller cultures anymore.
It happens in settled areas. You have all sorts of issues of crime and violence in settled areas.
Yeah, I mean, you can turn this on its head. I'm looking across, I speak to you at Mountjoy Prison, where a disproportionate number of prisoners come from a traveller background. But you can tell me, as Vincent Brown used to do, that's because they're more discriminated against and they're sent to jail more easily. I mean, where are we going with this? You know, are we turning logic on its head, where a community which really, back in the decades ago, could, you know, easily, my father used to buy scrap metal from travellers when he was a sculptor. They could be fitted in Irish society. It's an increasingly homogenised society, increasingly regulated. And yet, when I listen to John Connors on the Late Late Show, he wants to live his way with caravans on the side of the road and so on. And this is why, Matt, people feel when they see someone like your man Peter Casey make the points he did, he gets demonised and vilified by the Irish media. And what do they do? They go out and they give him 350,000 votes, you know. So that's what's happening. It's a circumscribed debate, and it's, you know, it goes on forever. Yeah,
I'm not sure you've actually addressed the point that I put to you, which is about, like, do certain areas manage to avoid sharing their responsibilities?
Sorry, yeah, I think they probably do because they have more muscle and they're wealthier. I mean, if you look at the way the Metrolink was postponed or diverted there in Ranelagh because of one road, I'd say they're very powerful people living on that road in that area in Ranelagh. Yeah, I'm sorry, that's the real world.
Yeah, because here's a listener who has a very interesting comment to 0874100102. As a teacher who works with traveller families in Ballyfermot in Dublin, who have been promised social housing for 10 years, I can see this problem was widespread. Proposals and accommodation plans constantly abandoned or stalled because it's seen there are no votes in the travelling community. Meanwhile, children spend their formative years in abhorrent conditions, perpetuating the cycle of poverty and division and racism. Despicable that communities can close ranks and discriminate, and councils and politicians won't stand up for all Irish citizens.
I don't get the logic here. Why am I responsible for traveller? Why don't travellers raise their own kids in a way that doesn't have them in poverty? I mean, this is like people saying, look at the state of the front of my house and a halting site down the radio. But I mean, I could, Mark, have you up here and say, look at the state of the front of my front garden. Why don't you come and clean it up? We don't even have the broader debate, by the way, which is never brought in, about the payment of tax, which many people would feel resentful during the water debate because that coincided with some of the debate around the Carrick Mines tragedy. You know, there are lots of other things, elements which are censored, really, about the trauma, because it is a unique and challenging culture, let us just say, in the 21st century. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, just going back to your point about Ranelagh, yeah, probably I would say most people would find significant challenges in living close to a travelling community. But my people are happy to do so. We have travellers in the local school where my kids are. It all works out grand, as it does with all kinds of different groups. But there are challenges. There is no doubt about that. I mean, that is the reality, and that's why Irish people feel
Barry
the
Ward,
way they do.
There's no basis, Matt, for concluding that people in certain areas get to decide who lives next to them. Unless they own the land that's next to them, they don't get to make that decision. And I can only speak for my own area in Dunereth Down. As I said to you initially, there is a broad spread of travel accommodation across the county.
Are you trying to tell me that wealthy people don't have influence, that politicians don't listen to them?
Matt, by your metric, I represent an affluent area in Blackrock, yet we have just as much travel accommodation in the Blackrock area as they do in any other area of Dunereth Down. And I can't speak for every other county in the country, but I can tell you that there is a broad spread. But whatever Eamon has said there, and he's kind of asserted that, and I understand from a media perspective that it's a sensational thing to say. However, there are issues that are of concern. I mean, look at the life expectancy of travellers, look at levels of education and health. They are issues that we do have to address. And as I say, the most important thing is, while you might suggest that it's convenient, or whatever word you want to use, that the Mount Amble site has been taken out of our traveller accommodation plan, we have assessed over the next 5 years there will be 50 families will need accommodation in Dunereth Down. We will address that. If you look at the settled community, we are unfortunately quite a distance away from addressing the housing needs of the settled community. So using that metric as a comparison, they are being well served.
I have other guests. I have Bernard Joyce from the Irish Traveller Movement, and I have also John O'Sullivan, TD, to get in. But very quickly, Councillor Hugh Lewis.
Well, first of all, the perspective Barry puts across, that travellers are somehow accommodated better than people on social housing lists at the moment.
That's not what I said.
Well, that's the conclusion you led. Over 10%, the last time I got the figures, over 10% of the homeless population Dunleary were travellers. Yet less than 1% of the general population of the country are actually travellers. So you're 10 times more likely to be homeless, if you remember, the travelling community in Dunleary. Yet, apparently, all of the travellers' needs will be met over the next 5 years. This just isn't true. What we need to do is keep sites such as Mount Amble, such as Pottery Road, within the plan. So when we have a government that actually care about building social housing and traveller accommodation, we can pursue traveller accommodation and social housing and affordable housing on these sites.
A listener says, I'm sorry, but if I bought a house in an area because of the folk that live there, then I will have a say in who lives near me for free. And Mary says, travellers are absolutely segregated and shunned. Anytime I speak to the lovely local traveller woman at home, my home in Cashel in Tipperary, I can feel people stare and ponder the oddness of it. I have no problem living in the vicinity of travellers, so I can safely say I don't know many of my friends or family who would. Bernard Joyce from the Irish Traveller Movement has been waiting patiently. What do you make of what you've heard so far?
Well, maybe the first thing, Matt, is to say that just around travellers and just around the broader issues, accommodation is one of the issues, but it really does have a detrimental effect on people's mental health, physical health, employment, education, and also their full role to play in society. So I think in terms of the legislation that was introduced, which you're referring to the site, that was introduced in 1998, which is nearly over 20 years now. But since that, the figures for travellers in overcrowded accommodation have in fact increased by 5 times. Today there's 4,460 families in overcrowded housing sites and in standard housing. The figures around homelessness has increased as well alongside of that. So we are looking at travellers being 11 times more likely to be homeless than the general population. So you are looking at very stark figures. And despite the legislation, we're looking at a housing accommodation crisis within the traveller community, and that has in fact got worse. But to add to that, over the last number of years, something like 55 million within budgets that have been allocated for traveller accommodation has gone year after year underspent. And that's leading us now to the accommodation crisis within the traveller community getting worse.
So what do you want done?
Well, I think the first thing, Matt, is that we want to see changes. And from, you know, we want to see changes. So we do have solutions. And those solutions is around the establishment of an independent traveller agency. The agency itself would be established and would consult with local authorities, would have a national programme for the provision of travel accommodation and include an amendment in Part 8 of Planning Act and to be current conditional to travel provision. So there would be monitoring, there would be assessed, there would advise, there would secure the implementation of annual build refurbishment programmes of local authorities and would review the current programmes currently in place. But they would also look to draw down funding, oversee it, and ensure that that funding is targeted and spent year after year.
See, Bernard, there's lots of people getting in touch at 0874100102 saying, whatever about the figures that you're quoting, that people have to be responsible for their own accommodation rather than looking to the state to provide that they should be providing for themselves, like the vast majority of people do.
Well, the reality is that the vast majority of people in Ireland cannot afford a home. And we know that. And we know that, so, you know, there's an over-reliance on the private rental sector in terms of HAP. We know that the increase in terms of people on the social housing list has increased. So the accommodation crisis, while it affects travellers, and we're pretty much at the, you know, the top end of that, it does affect everybody else. So I think that the idea that somehow we're the only group affected by this, we're not. But what I am saying is that there has to be political will and commitment to ensure that the lives of the travel community are improved. So how can we improve education if we don't have a basic roof over our head, water, electricity, sanitation? And a lot of families don't have that, Matt.
Well, we're in Jan O'Sullivan, Labour Party T co-convener of the Traveller Oireachtas Group. Jan, thank you very much for waiting patiently to join this conversation. But there seems to be an enormous amount of comments coming through to 0874100102 saying, you know, we have plenty of homeless people to be dealing with. Don't be giving special consideration or accommodation to travellers.
Well, many of the people who are homeless are travellers. And in fact, I think there's a statistic that of the people who are homeless outside of Dublin, of the children who are homeless, 25% of them are traveller children. And I think there's quite a high percentage in the Dublin area as well. Look, many travellers do accommodate themselves, but for those who can't afford to, just as for all of the other people who need state support, they should have appropriate accommodation. And one of the points Bernard made there is that actually the budgets tend to be underspent in most of the local authorities. They don't actually spend the money that's allocated for traveller
accommodation. And why is that? Is that because it's not popular to do so, that there's no point politically in putting in these houses because there's no votes to be won in doing so? In fact, there could be votes lost in doing so.
Well, I think it is about political will, and I think that's why I think the taking out of that Mount Anvil site out of the programme is very much to be regretted. And I know my Labour colleagues supported keeping it in because, you know, even if the other councillor was saying, Councillor Barry Ward was saying that, you know, there would be enough, the reality is that there's a fair chance that some of them will fall through the net. So I think you absolutely need to have enough accommodation in your plans, and you have to have the will to spend it. And you have to have, I think, you know, you have to stand up to those who have issues around traveller sites, because, you know, we do have to house people.
Yeah, but what about then the people who are saying that they are victims of antisocial behaviour where these sites have been established?
Well, of course, the sites need to be properly run and they need to be properly managed. Just as
hold on, can they not be run and managed themselves by people for themselves?
Well, I mean, the local authorities who own housing estates have to manage those housing estates. Of course, you're supposed to, you have to manage your own, where you actually live, your own space within that area. But certainly, you know, I think that the kind of rhetoric that Eamon used, for example, is just going to turn people against the idea of living near travellers. Whereas one of your listeners there was saying, you know, that she has no problem, she knows local travellers. And I think people who know travellers in a local area don't have the kind of, you know, overblown views that Eamon was expressing about bare knuckle fighting, etc. I think we need to tone down the rhetoric. We need to recognise that there are families who need to be accommodated, and we need to ensure that those sites are properly managed. But there is a lack of political will in many places, and, you know, maybe it is because there aren't votes, but that's absolutely no reason to not to do.
Barry Ward,
I think that's an extraordinarily ill-informed thing to say. You see, and Councillor Lewis as well, seem to be suggesting that we should be preparing in our five-year plan for accommodation that we project will not be necessary. Now, experts and officials, as part of a consultative process that's laid down in the 1998 Act, have carried out an assessment in my local authority area, Dunearrathdown, of what the needs of travellers, and that is in conjunction with the travellers themselves, the community itself, what is the need going to be for the next 5 years? They have established that it's approximately 50 families. They have established in the draft plan that is now at public consultation that there is provision for those 50 families. The suggestion here now is that we should leave sites in it that would not be necessary. At the same time that we have a housing crisis in other areas, we should be providing houses that we project will not be necessary for members of the travelling community. So it's not about politics. It's not about political will in this instance. We have a very well-managed travel accommodation programme in Dunearrathdown at the moment. We don't have problems with it. We don't have the kind of problems that Eamon was talking about, for example. We have good people living in well-serviced sites, and they're not without their problems, but that's true of every element of housing. But to come on here from a different local authority area and tell me that even though our experts and our travelling community have assessed their need for the next 5 years, we should then be providing above and beyond that at a site that can be sold to fund capital projects for everybody in Dunearrathdown, including the travelling community. That doesn't make sense.
Surely the fact that site was in the plan for the last, was it 25 years?
Well, it was originally 30 years, yeah.
I think you'd have to question why is it this particular site that's been taken out. That's what I'm saying.
Well, why would you have to question that? This has been established. I can tell you a good reason why it's been taken out, and that's because of the value of the site. The reality is there is a site there that is worth, and we've got expert opinions on this, and they've assessed that it can be sold, for example, under a different scheme for up to 15 million euro. That's 15 million euro that will go into the capital budget in Dunearrathdown to provide libraries, parks, roads, all the other things for every citizen of Dunearrathdown, not just the central community.
Councillor Hugh Lewis back in on that.
You see, this is where it hits the nail on his head. Barry is talking about the Mount Amble site, right? The Mount Amble site is zoned mixed town centre, which can provide for traveller accommodation, it can provide for a certain amount of commercial, it can also provide affordable, and it can provide for social housing. So the logic of selling off zoned land for housing that's serviced within our county to provide for libraries and swimming pools, which are all very noble causes, but the idea in a very ever-deepening, depressing housing crisis, to be quite honest, which is certainly as a councillor, the vast majority of my communications are not great communications. They're telling people the unfortunate consequences of Fine Gael's housing policy. But the idea that in the middle of a crisis, we can propose to sell off sites such as this one and also another one in Dunleary, in George's Lane, which can provide a large amount of social and affordable housing. Somehow that logic makes economic sense. It's absolute madness.
Mr. says, stop talking about travellers as if they should be dealt with differently to the rest of us. If they require social housing, apply like everyone else. Why are they being treated differently? Are you looking to be treated differently, Bernard Joyce, of the Irish Traveller Movement?
Yeah, I think there's a misconception out there that somehow the travellers are looking for special treatment in Ireland and that they are gaining more than anybody else. In fact, the issue for the traveller community is that they're just, at the moment, there are so many families living without water, sanitation, electricity. They're living in overcrowded accommodation. And what we're asking is that there's adequate provision being put in place to address those needs now. So we're not like when we're talking about housing, do you apply the exact same way as everybody else? Do you get assessed the same as everybody else? Do you pay rent the exact same as everybody else. So there's no exceptional needs. What we are seeing is that, you know, there's no planning for future growth, and that public lands that are designated for traveller accommodation and other accommodation for public and social housing are being sold off to private investors. So the issue really is a home a commodity? Is it a commodity or is it a basic fundamental right to have water, electricity, sanitation, to be able to go to school and come back to a warm home and safe place to live? That's the question. And we have been saying within the Irish Housing Movement, within the wider public sector, is that there should be, you know, people should have that as a basic right. So I'm not sure, maybe just the listeners, I mean, coming from, you know, I suppose, a different, I suppose, background. Because I know that the only site that has been designated is now being sold because of the value. Was it worth 15 million 30 years ago? I wouldn't think so.
Bernard, I have to go back to you. There's so many people texting in, not about the rights of travellers, but the responsibilities. Now, well, course, I know everybody doesn't have the same experience. Can I just put this to you, please, Bernard, 1 second? I want to put the listener comments to you.
Can I just say, the first question you asked was, you know, in terms of, would you live beside travellers? Like, as a traveller, that's an insult. I live within a settled community. I'm not enough to pay a mortgage and rent. But I'm only one of a few.
And that's what I've started to come to.
I don't ask that of the wider community. So I think there has to be this idea or misconception that there's Hulls and the rest of the community. I am as much Irish than anybody else. I'm as much, you know, as a traveller, I'm very proud of that. And I'm proud of my heritage, proud of my culture. And I want to express that in a way that every other traveller can express it, but also in terms of that being embedded within our society. So when Trans were recognised as minority ethnic group in 2017, that was the first, I suppose, position in which we felt that the state for the first time had recognised our rightful place within our society.
Bernard, I want to put a comment to you from a listener, because this Minersex sums up an enormous amount we're getting in. And this is the perception that there is, and I know this doesn't apply to everybody in the traveller community because you have different people in different economic circumstances, but this one says, I drive a 0-5 car, I've worked all my life and I'm in my 50s, and when I pass the halting site on the Carrigrohane Road in Cork, 99% of the cars are 161 upwards. I just don't understand where I went wrong. There's this perception, rightly or wrongly, that many travellers are not paying taxes, have expensive cars, that type of thing.
That's a perception. The vast majority of people within the convict community are living, again, without adequate facilities, without water, sanitation. Yes, there's people that live in private house and their own properties, and the vast majority of people would know they're travellers. So this idea is somehow you look and you look in at travellers and you see what they're driving, as somehow that gives, you know, some valid, people can actually say, well, look, I you know, this reinforces my view of the traveller community, that they have wealth. And I would say to you, absolutely, in some cases. But what we are looking at, and I think John has mentioned it, is that suicide within the traveller community is 7 times higher than the wider settled community. And the question is, why is that?
Okay, I want to go back to Jan.
Unemployment is at 82%. Why is that? People are living in substandard third world conditions. Why is that? Why is 55 million not being spent in terms of improving the living conditions now, today, for children, women and men? Why is that? And the reality is, the comments are coming in. We need to call it out.
Okay, but General Sullivan, the comments are coming in from people who are also saying they're living beside antisocial behaviour on a regular occasion. There are people complaining about horses being brought into housing estates. I don't know how common that is, but how do travellers, or how do you think we get away from the perception that that is the reality of things?
Well, I think we need to look at the, I suppose, the diversity of travellers' type of accommodation, of travellers, the way in which they live, They identify as travellers, and rightly so, and they have their own ethnic identity and so on. But I mean, many travellers are living in private rented accommodation, for example, with HAP or with other supports that other people, settled people, are also in the same situations. A large number of travellers actually do accommodate themselves as well. And some would want to be on halting sites and would want to live in a larger kind of family unit, if you like. But look, they're not all, you know, I'd say the percentage of travellers that have horses in residential areas, where in housing residential areas, is actually very small. And I know in Limerick that, you know, there's as many settled people with horses who want to live in housing estates as there are travellers. So I think we need to just stop, you know, over egging the rhetoric in relation to this, and recognise that, you know, we're talking about families here. We're talking in many cases about people with young children who are living in totally unsuitable accommodation. And I think we need to have dialogue, first of all, with the travellers themselves as to what they actually need. And then, I do also think that it shouldn't be tolerated that people have horses where they shouldn't have horses, inappropriately keep horses in places that are not suitable.
And
it shouldn't
to
be
everyone.
Tolerated, for example, that sites do not have proper collection of refuse and all of these things. You know, because if we kind of say, well, it's okay, you know, it's okay, and we'll just say it's because they're travellers. That's not right. We need to ensure that we respect travellers as individuals, but that they also have, you know, the same kind of social responsibilities in terms of
we're in danger
of obeying the rules as everybody else. And I think travellers want that for themselves.
Okay, I'm going to have a brief last word from Hugh Lewis and also from Councillor Barry Ward, who are on their way to the the Dunleary Rathdown Council meeting. Hugh.
One of the reasons so many travellers are stuck in homelessness is precisely, unfortunately, because of the HAP scheme, I believe introduced by Jan O'Sullivan herself, which concretised the idea of housing solutions being provided by the private market. If you're a traveller and you're trying to get a HAP contract, you've slim to none chance of ringing the landlord with a traveller accent and securing that contract. So first of all, the HAP scheme has to be recognised, and private rental contracts have to be recognised as regressive for travellers. But if people are worried about where the money comes from, it is far more expensive to rely on HAP contracts, which cost the state $420 million last year, and they won't have a doorbell to show for it this year, than provide housing. In our council, they made €16 million off social housing, the differential between maintenance and rental income.
OK, Barry Ward, last word to
Jan
you.
Jan talked about dialing up the political rhetoric, and there you have it. The reality is anybody who's looking for a house, whether it's a traveller or a settled person, doesn't care whether it comes from the private sector or from the state or from a council or from a housing group, whatever it might be.
They do, because it has different consequences.
It's about providing housing. We are doing that in Dunleary Rathdown. I hope the government is doing it nationally for all kinds of groups, and I hope that we will continue along that road.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Barry Ward of Fine Gael, Hugh Lewis of People Before Profit, Jan O'Sullivan, Labour Party TD, who joined us from studio in Limerick, thanks to Spin Southwest, and also to Bernard Joyce from the Irish Traveller Movement.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.